Well, as we come to consider these words together, let me pray. Almighty God, we want to thank you for your word. It teaches us so much about you, ourselves, and this amazing world that you have made. Father, but we are dependent upon you to grant us understanding. Father, as you've promised, may we know your spirit moving amongst us. Give us ears to hear, minds that can understand, and a heart and will that will engage with the gift of your word that we receive this morning. In your name and for your glory. Amen. Well, may I give you a very happy new year. Happy new year to you all. Has it been a good year so far? I wonder how it's going. I mean, new years are often an opportunity, aren't they? We see them as an opportunity. Putting that year that's behind us and striving forward to the new year that is ahead of us. I mean, for some of us, the year that's passed has been quite a struggle, hasn't it? Quite a tough time. Struggles in our health, maybe struggles in our wealth. Maybe there's been changes in our family life, our job life, our working life, the communities that we are part of, even changes in our church. Some of us were not at this church last year. Maybe in the news, the year has just been full of war, suffering, strife, of natural disasters, and of course the global financial crisis. So it's no surprise, is it, as we come to a new year, we'd love to just shut that door on the last year and open this new door to the year that is ahead, a year that could be a brightness and a brighter future. And I guess that's why we often make New Year's resolutions. Did anybody get them? I'm not going to ask you for it, but did anybody make one? No. Yeah, a few did. A few said, no, I'm not going to. I like that. Any ideas what do you think this year's most common resolution was, apparently? Anybody know? Any guesses?
Stop the war,
right? Oh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah, yeah, it should be a yearly one. Well, actually, this year was to get fit. Losing weight was so much last year. Getting fit is this year's one. Now, let me ask you a question, and don't answer this out loud, just ask ourselves. I wonder if any of us thought about a New Year's resolution for ourselves in terms of our spiritual life. We could put it another way. Where would we like to be in 12 months' time in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Or maybe, what about as a church? Where would we like to be in 12 months' time as a church in terms of our spiritual life, our Christ-likeness? That's quite a thought, isn't it? Quite a challenge to think that one through. In a way, that's a challenge we're going to be thinking through this week and next week. But there's a problem, isn't there? The thing is, it's in a sense a massive hurdle to overcome. I don't know whether you've come across this, but when we make these New Year's resolutions, or we might not, but we think about making them, but we then have a reality check, don't we? Because so often we can make these things or have made them, but when life just gets back to the humdrum of every, you know, we just lose it, don't we? We forget about it. We just move on. Life just remains as it is. In a way, it is a brand new year, but it's the same old us. And forgive me, there's no PowerPoint today. I've been having issues. Trish and I have had IT issues this week, so yeah, she had problems with her computer. I've had trouble with mine. Well, it's the internet, actually. I'm blaming the internet. So sorry. So if you wanted a title for today, it's a brand new year. But will it be the same old us? That is the challenge for us this morning. It's a brand new year, but will it be the same old us? So what do you think it's going to take for us in 2024 so that it doesn't remain the same old us? Answers on a postcard?
Keep us all healthy.
How's that going to happen? How are we going to change? Well, we could have answers on the postcard, or we could check up God's word, can't we? So why are we going to be looking at Ephesians specifically, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. That's our verse of the year. And as always, I've printed it out for you. So I'm now going to give out our year card, so you're welcome to take one and pass it on. And as a former printer, if you can work out what the printer I got this to do has done that really annoys me, you can tell me afterwards. That's the problem, you get fussy with this sort of stuff when you worked in it.
Oh. free read through. It's two sided again. You have one each. Don't feel you've got to scrimp because you're a family. Need any more this end? So on the back side, you got the black. That's the same, similar to what we had on the back of the one last year. But I verse of the year, Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. And when they cut it, they left the white edges. Oh! Does that annoy me or does that annoy me? Anyway. Woo. If I still had a guillotine, I were a big guillotine that can cut thousands of sheets, I would have recut it. But if you want to get... For me, it winds me up. Anyway. Woo. Shall we read this together? Ephesians 3, verses 20 to 21. To him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And so my plan is to spend a couple of weeks, this week and next week, thinking about this verse. And if you notice the first bit, to him he's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. So this week we're going to be thinking about the background. Because in a sense, if he can do more than we can think and ask, well, what are we thinking and asking? So that, in a sense, that's what we're going to be looking at this week. It's like climbing up a hill, a bit of a background, doing the work, so that next week we get standing up and get the amazing view. In a sense, I've done that in our picture. As we stand at a new year, we're looking out. We have no idea what the future will hold. But in a sense, with a little waterfall there, the idea is like paradise. Sorry if that doesn't work. But we're just looking out on the future. But we do know whatever we think or ask, God can do more. The question is what are we to be thinking and asking? And that's what we're going to be looking at this week. So do take one of these. Do take it home. So a bit of background. So when Paul was writing this, he was a prisoner of conscience in Rome. And if you've got your Bibles open again, please, you'll need them as well. If you look at verse 13, so that's the verse before Chris started reading, you'll notice that how Paul being in prison is now affecting his friends, his Christian friends, and specifically this church at Ephesus. It's knocked them for six. And now they are in a state, in a place where they are losing heart. And of course, Paul loves this church and he wants to strengthen them. He wants them, his readers, to be able to face the anxiety that they have regarding their future. And he does it. He wants to empower them. He wants to strengthen them. And he does it in his letter. And there's two halves to this letter. In chapters 1 to 3, in a sense, he says, remember what made you a Christian in the first place, what made you a believer. And in the second half of Ephesians, it's very much, remember what it means to be a believer. And in remembering how we became a believer and what it means to be a believer, Paul is seeking to strengthen these young Christians as they face the future. So as we look ahead to 2024, whatever it holds, where will we find our confidence to face anything that's thrown at us, both as individuals and as a church? Those times when we're tempted to lose heart, what's going to be the source of our strength and our resolve? Well, turn to our cards again. Can you wonder whether we can see it? What is it that brings all the things that we ask or think to God to reality? To him he's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. The power that is at work within us. Our source of confidence in Jesus that will be our strength as individuals and as a church through 2024 comes in knowing the power that was at work in us to make us a believer in the first place is the power that's very much still at work in us and through us. The thing is, when we think about power, think about that word power for a moment. Often we think about the power that it takes to make something work. You know, batteries not included. We've had that at Christmas, haven't we? The power to influence others or the power to get what we want. And often our requests to God tend to be a bit like that. Lord, help me to do this. Help me to influence others or help me to get what I need. But when Paul's approaching his prayer to the Lord, his request for these flagging Christians, he's so different, isn't he? His prayer is that the power of God would be within them to fulfill,
fulfill God's mission in them. It's for his purpose and God's prosperity. And I hope that in this example of Paul's request to God, I'd love us to discover two resolutions for us as a church that give us strength as we strive for this new year. It's going to be the same. This is going to be a brand new year, but it doesn't have to be the same old us. Why? Well, in verses 16 and 17, is as we know the power of God in us to enjoy his presence. And since these are the two headings, I would have had them on screen. We have the power of God to know, to enjoy his presence, and the power of God within us to experience his love. To enjoy his presence and experience his love this year will be a year so that it is a brand new year and it doesn't have to be the same old us. So verse 16 then, when the power of God, or through the power of God, we can enjoy his presence, it will make a difference in our lives. Verse 16, I pray that out of God's... By the way, I've actually reading this out the NIV. I just found it slightly clearer. The ESV is a bit too wooden here. I pray that out of God's glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through God the Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ Jesus may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, the inner being that Paul is referring to here is referring to the real us, what makes us us, our essence, our personality. Paul is asking that the power of God through the Holy Spirit gets so under our skin that it will change the very people that we are. And that word dwell there is not like a lodger. You know, if you've had a lodger, sometimes you're aware they're there and sometimes you're aware that they're not here. But by dwelling, Paul means that Jesus gets so under our skin, it's as if it's his place. He's made it his home. So now, Laura and I had a period of time where, with the boys, we were lodging with my parents. And they survived. We survived. But while we were there, we didn't make massive changes to the place. You know, it was still their house. Yes, we did the odd bit of cleaning and tidying and gardening. But when the time we'd left, it was still their home. But when we went back to our house in Medway, we made that our home. You know, we decorated it the way we wanted it. We hung up the curtains that we liked, the family pictures of our family and our boys. If you were to come along, it was very much, oh yeah, this is where Mark and Laura's lives. We put our mark on the place. In a sense, hold that picture, because that's what Paul wants us to have, with the power of God working in us and through us. Jesus gets so under our skin that it's as if it's his home. It is his place. And that is what will change us through 2024. And we need to not underestimate the power that it takes for the Lord Jesus Christ to get under our skin, to move in, and we enjoy his presence. Maybe think back to Christmas, you know, the great story and events of that first Christmas. When Joseph and Mary came into Bethlehem, there was no room. And eventually there was that cattle stall. And just imagine that picture for a moment. You know, it's where the animals are, it's where they eat. You know, think of the smell, think of the look, the rustic nature of it. And now think back to our lives. When the Lord Jesus Christ first comes knocking on our door, what do we say? There's no room. We're not interested. We don't want you in our life. But he keeps going. He keeps going. But then we do finally commit and allow him to come into our lives. What is it like? Isn't it not like that cattle stall? Think of what our minds are like by the way we naturally are, our hearts and our desires and our selfishness. And in comparison to the holiness and the purity of our Lord Jesus Christ, yet he who is the most holy being in the universe chooses to knock on our door and come in and be with us and make it his home. So through the power of God, the Lord Jesus Christ can get so under our skin and move in and make our lives his home. And that will mean it is a brand new year, but it won't necessarily be the same old us as we allow him to get under our skin and we enjoy him moving in, or some phrase like that. I'm trying to work out a nice rhythm to a phrase that, well, I'm going to have to work on it for next week. But Jesus moves in and we enjoy his presence. And God will so deeply change us. So it is a brand new year, and it doesn't have to be the same old us. Same old us as individuals, same old us as a church. But also, God wants us to know the power of him working in us and through us so that we experience his love. The second half of verse 17 says this. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Do you know what I find really encouraging about the letter that Paul wrote to these anxious Christians? He doesn't berate them in any way, does he? I don't know whether you found it, but often when I'm going through a tough time, I tend to be hard on myself. I tend to think, no, if you love the Lord more, if you had greater faith, you wouldn't be going through a time like this. Paul doesn't do that, does he? He doesn't do that at all. He recognises that these Christians, because they are Christians, are rooted and established in the love of God by virtue of them being a Christian in the first place. But what he's highlighting is that it's one thing to be grounded in the love of Christ, but it's something else to grasp the scale of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know, when I was growing up, one of my favourite holidays was going to Derbyshire. Some of you may have been to Derbyshire because they've got loads of caves. You can go and explore all these mines and caves. The Blue John Mine was my favourite because those funny little gems. But I remember on one occasion taking a guided tour through these caverns, and you know, this lady who was our guide tour, she had a torch, and we entered an area where she said, well, you're now entering one of the largest caverns in the UK. But of course, using her torch, we could only see part of it. I mean, she was telling us it was big, and we could kind of see that it was big. But we couldn't really grasp how big it was until she did what all guides do if you ever go caving, and they turn the lights out, don't they? And you can't see your hands even in front of your face. But then she just turned the floodlights on, and boof. You actually heard everybody go, as though just the sheer scale and all the stalactites and stalagmites, and it had colour to it and all the rest of it. And it was just really breathtaking. Suddenly we could see and grasp the extent of this cavern. Now I wonder where we put that picture into what Paul is saying regarding the grasping, the love that Jesus has for us. We start, it's like a torch. We know God loves us and Jesus loves us. But Paul is saying, don't just stand with that torchlight, just pointing out little bits. Ever be growing and seeking to grasp the sheer magnitude of the Christ's love for us. Now, you would have noticed in our news sheet, if you've read it already, that Trish and I have put a number of options in there, items in there, to help us to read God's word this year. If you want to know, how do we get Jesus under our skin? How can we experience his love within? Oh, maybe that's the phrase that pays for this week. How do we get Jesus under our skin and experience his love within? It is as we read his word. And so you've got a number of things in our new sheet to help us with that. And one I've started this year is on my phone. Forgive me, I do use a smartphone. And there's something called Explore. You can get the notes in paper or you can get it on your phone. And what Explore notes have taken us through this year, for those of you, if you've done it already, is like a spiritual health check. And one thing they are talking about is the love of God. And I just want to read this to you. How easy it is for churches and Christians to grow cold in our love for Jesus. At first, it seems so obvious and natural. We are awed and moved by our Saviour's love for us. And we respond by loving him. And then comes the routines, the rotas and everything else. And without noticing it, we end up simply doing the right things, but no longer really doing the one thing that matters, loving the one who saved us. And if I'm struggling in the Christian life, it's likely to be rooted in the dwindling of my love for Christ. So how do we gain, enable us to love Christ more? But that's the wrong way of looking at it. How can we come back to be growing in our love for Jesus? By seeing how he loves us. Our love is kindled as we glimpse his blazing love for us. And this is great news, because we will never touch the depths or grasp the heights of his love. If we feel loveless towards Jesus, don't focus on how much love we have for him, but how much love he has for us. Don't just use a torch, turn the floodlights on
and be reminding ourselves of the sheer love that Jesus has for us. So may this year, it is a brand new year, but one way in which it won't be the same old us is to allow Jesus getting under our skin and appreciating his love for us within. That's a great challenge I have taken from those notes this morning, is to love the Lord by being reminded and grasping the magnitude of his love for us. Yeah, think about it. I don't know whether you do like I do. I love laying on the ground and just looking up at the sky when there's no clouds. And you can see the vastness of the space, isn't it? Has anybody tried counting the stars? Yeah. You get to 10 and think, oh my word. I did as a kid, and I still do now. I love just sitting there watching it and counting it. And I don't know how many times I've done it, thousands of times. And as a climber, when you get up really high, like 4,000 metres or something like that, of course, the sky is even broader because you don't have all the light pollution. But every time you look, you discover something else. You discover something else, something you hadn't seen before. And that's what it is with the love of God. The more we let Jesus in and get under our skin, is how we know, experience his love within. A love of God that is so wide, so long, so deep and high, so wide that it covers every race, every tribe, nation, tongue and people are affected by the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's so long that it stretches from the vastness of eternity past to the vastness of eternity future. The love of our Jesus is so deep that none of us can be so trapped and caught and imprisoned by sin that he cannot save us. And it is so high that even the vastness of the heavenly realms is not big enough to contain the love our Lord Jesus Christ has for us. So hopefully we can see how, yes, it's a brand new year, but it doesn't have to be the same old us as we allow our Lord Jesus Christ to get under our skin and allow his love to dwell within. The thing is, often what that takes, it's a nice phrase, but often that happens through tough times, isn't it? And as we look to the future, we may not like the thought that this year is not going to be an easy year. But often it's through those tough times that Lord Jesus shows us that he is all we need when he is all that we have. Through those disappointments, those bereavements, those trials, those persecutions. Because often it is, as we experience in our own human love, it is a friend in need that is a friend indeed. And similar too with our Lord. But the great thing with our Lord, he is a friend to us even when we're not friendly to him. And so it will be in those moments of failure, those moments of tough time, that we will appreciate even more the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. But maybe for some of us here, it's been a long time since we've really experienced and thought about the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he has for us. So maybe for this year, our prayer is to be, Lord, bring to me and restore to me the joy of my salvation and the love that you have for me. Turn on those floodlights and help me to grasp what you have done for me again. Because unlike a typical Englishman, our Lord is not stunted in showing his love, is he? Speaking of myself there. And you can ask Laura. God is not emotionally stunted, not at all. He longs to lavish his love upon us. He longs us to open the door, floodgates of our lives to get under our skin and to dwell within. And in turn, then, to tell others what it means to be loved by the greatest lover there is in the universe. But one more thing to say before I sit down. I wonder if any of us here, as I'm speaking of the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for us, in a sense, it's a bit like a cold, frosty wind. Cold because, in a way, we haven't understood it or experienced it for ourselves. It's like, you know, it's a Christmas scene, isn't it, where you're outside a house looking through a small window to the wonderful warmth that is within. Is 2024 the year in which we come in to the warmth and the wonder and the glow of that room where the Lord Jesus Christ lives? Is it time to stop denying that he's there? Stop being angry with him? Stop holding Jesus at arm's length? Maybe 2024 is a year where we let go of our pride and our self-sufficiency. Accept our Lord Jesus Christ as our King. Allow him to get under our skin and enjoy the love that he has for us. I should have written that phrase down. I've forgotten it already.
It's a brand new year. It doesn't have to be the same old us as we allow the power of God to enjoy his presence and also to experience his love. Let me pray. Father, our greatest desire is to allow you to get under our skin, that we may enjoy your presence within. And may your love that is so extensively just handed out to us, Father, just work in us and through us and blow our understanding. Lord, we thank you that your love is so great. May this year be a year where we just become more like you, both as individuals and as a church, that we may proclaim you boldly in your name and for your glory. Amen.